Well, folks, thanks for listening today. I want to start off with telling you about a little town on Vancouver Island, which is called the Little Town That Did. It is a town of about 4,000 people, and in 1862, a sawmill was built in this town, and it thrived. It employed many people over the years, and the sawmill was the financial basis for the town. Unfortunately, though, in 1983, the sawmill was shut down and the jobs dried up. The town of Chemainus could have easily become a ghost town, but there was an open door which the town saw, and they walked through it. They started to paint large murals on the walls of the business buildings downtown and introduced what was called the Festival of Murals. It started with only four murals, but has now grown to over three dozen large murals painted on the side of buildings. It's amazing. As a result, Chemainus has attracted many new businesses. A multi-million dollar live dinner theater, an incredible modern hotel, and thousands of tourists each year. The residents didn't let the adversity of the times defeat them, but they walked through a door, an open door, even though they were just a small town. As we continue on in our series about the seven churches in Revelation, we see the Church of Philadelphia is sort of similar to Chemainus. See, the Church of Philadelphia was small and faced challenges, but Jesus reveals that they never gave up. Let's look at what Jesus says, starting in Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, to the angel of the Church of Philadelphia, write, "These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the keys of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open." Jesus starts the same way as he does with all the messages to the other six churches. Jesus shares who he is, as he is the one whom the churches serve. This message comes from the one who is 100% holy. There is no evil in Jesus. Not even the slightest, not even a small white lie. Jesus is holy. He is pure in all his ways. He is also 100% true. In fact, Jesus is the embodiment of truthfulness. Everything he says is accurate, right, and exact. We stand on and can count on his words as factual. Everything Jesus says comes to pass, as not one of God's promises has ever failed. Not only is Jesus the one who is holy and true 100%, he is also holds the key of David. This comes from the scripture Isaiah 22:22. And here in Revelation is describing the one Jesus who has complete and total authority to do what needs to be done. Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. There is no one greater. He is the King of kings. I mean, he's the king over all kings, all presidents, all prime ministers, all those who rule over the nations. He is over and above them. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is Lord over all the lords. This is who Jesus is, the one who is writing this message to the Church of Philadelphia. And he has the key of authority that can open doors that no one can close, and he can close doors that no one can open. Because of this, listen to what Jesus tells the church. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Jesus states that we have heard, as we have heard in the other messages to the churches, that he knows their deeds. He knows all about them and what they are capable of doing. He knows the giftings they have and how they've been using them. Their deeds have not gone unnoticed. Therefore, Jesus has placed an open door before them. There's a couple of thoughts about this open door. Some believe it is the open doorway of salvation to a new life with Jesus. And we read in John chapter 10, verse 9 in the English Standard Version, where Jesus said, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Jesus is the way of salvation for everyone. He is the doorway to eternal life. As much as Satan would like to shut that door to all of us, he can't. Jesus has opened the door, and no one can shut it. The door is open for all who would like to walk through it and into an exciting life with Jesus. The other thought is the open door here is referring to an open door of ministry opportunity. Paul talked about a great door of effective work which had been opened for him in Ephesus. Even today, we know Jesus opens doors for ministry for every one of us, for all the believers. It might be full-time ministry, as becoming a pastor or a missionary, but it's more likely it is a ministry of volunteering. It could be volunteering, you know, on a worship team or in Kids Zone, where you get to shape the lives of young people to follow Jesus. The open door of ministry might be through your work. You might be working in the school system or healthcare profession or being a first responder or any other job like one of these, and you're able to share Jesus in a practical way to those you work with and work for. That open door of ministry might be with your family, friends, neighbors, or strangers. It could be an open door to giving your time to the Equality Project or to a food bank or another organization like that. Jesus will open a door of ministry for each and every one of us. There is that ministry for every believer. Do you ever wonder why you keep coming across people who need encouraging or strengthening? Could it be that that's your open door? That's the ministry Jesus has for you? He's prepared you to encourage and strengthen others? Jesus knows our deeds, our giftings, and has opened a door that can't be shut. He's opened it for us, a ministry for us, each one. I think the open door is both that of salvation and ministry. Each door is open to every one of us. Jesus wants us to walk through those doors. In the last half of Revelation chapter 3, verse 8, Jesus said, "I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name." Jesus knows we have little strength, and that is why he's not asking us to open a door on our own. Jesus is the one with the key. He has the key to all authority to open doors. He will open the door which are right for us and gives us the strength and ability to walk through those doors. We need to walk through the door, keep his word, and not deny him. If we do this, even when we are weak or have little strength, we will see his strength work in and through us. You know, really, in these seven verses that we are looking at today, there is so much there. We could spend hours talking about them. So in just the interest of time, and so I don't keep you online for a long time, we're just going to skip down to Revelation 3, verse 11. But I would encourage you to look at the other verses as well and see what God is saying to you through those verses. But in Revelation 3, 11, Jesus says, "I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown." Jesus tells the church, he's telling us, that he's coming soon. What does this mean? Well, first of all, it is an encouragement to all who believe, because we know when Jesus returns, he will take us as believers to be with him for the rest of eternity. And it doesn't get any better than that. That's the ultimate, to be in the physical presence of the Almighty God for all eternity. And that's exciting. But the other side of the coin here is that those who are not believers will remain on earth and face great tribulation, far above anything they have seen or could ever imagine, far above what we're experiencing now, even with the coronavirus. That should bring grief to our hearts when we think about it. As our Heavenly Father desires that none should perish, but all should walk through the open door of salvation. Yet these people will face great pain and suffering and might be separated from our Heavenly Father for all eternity. We need to have that realization in our heart that Jesus is coming soon. And that means he could come at any moment. And at that moment, we don't even have a split second longer to reach out to those who have not accepted Jesus yet. Oh, it's true that Jesus might not return for 1,000 years. That might be soon for Jesus. But he might come right now. And if Jesus came right now, would we have regrets? would we say, if I had only known, I would have done things so much different. I would have done things more for the kingdom of God. I would have shared my story with my neighbor. I would have volunteered here so I could have poured into the lives. I would have taught Kids Zone so I could shape lives for the future. If Jesus came right now, would we have regrets? Well, Jesus gives us instructions here as well. He says he's coming soon, and the instructions are, and we are to hold on to what we have. Hold on to what we have. Those words, hold on, have the idea of remaining firmly committed to something. We are to be firmly committed to what we have, to the open doors that Jesus has set before us. First, we need to remain firmly committed to Jesus and the door of salvation he has given us. We must never, not even for a second, stop living for him. We must hold on, remain firmly committed to the open door of ministry which Jesus has placed before us. To hold on, to remain firmly committed to his call. This call Jesus has placed on each one of us. And it does not mean just to hold on and hope we won't let go. It's an action. It is being firmly committed to live and walk out our lives each and every day for Jesus. It's being committed to use the gifts Jesus has given us so we will continually fulfill the ministry, the open door he has placed before us. The Church of Philadelphia was doing this. They faced challenges, and yet, not having a lot of strength, they kept Jesus' words and never denied him. Their deeds were evident as they held on by being firmly committed to the open door before them. They were overcomers. They were victorious. Jesus said in Revelation 3:12, "Him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I will write on him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on him my new name." Here, as with the other churches we've seen, we see the magnificent rewards of being the church Jesus has called us to be. When we overcome, Jesus declares we become a pillar in the temple of God. That's sort of strange language for us, but you know, a pillar is something that would support the temple and also make the temple look good. The one who builds the pillar builds it strong enough so it will support whatever is standing on it. It will support the weight that it needs to support. But he also, the one who builds it, took time to build a beautiful scroll work so that those who walk by and look at it are attracted to it and want to look at it more. When we are victorious in our walk with Jesus, our lives become like a public support of God's kingdom and we look good. God has poured into us the strength we need to stand solid for his kingdom, to be that solid pillar. And along with this, not only has he alone poured in that strength, but he alone is placing his character in us. So we are attractive to those who see us. We are the pillars for his temple, for his kingdom, and most of all, for his glory alone. It's all about attracting others to the kingdom, to the Father, for him. It's not so we look good personally. It's so God is glorified. Being part of God's temple is similar to the language used in 1 Corinthians 6:19, where Paul states that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And Peter declares in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 5, as you come to him, the living stones, rejected by man, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are living stones being built into God's temple. Let me share a couple of other thoughts here about these pillars, these living stones. The pillars are placed on a solid rock foundation. Yeah, you got it. You're right. Jesus is the rock. He is our rock. And he is the solid foundation which we are built upon. He's the cornerstone that was rejected, but he's the foundation that we are built upon, that we as pillars stand upon. Jesus stated that these pillars would never leave the temple again. This means, as we are victorious, we are a permanent part of God's kingdom. We will be his kingdom for all eternity. Nothing can separate us from the kingdom, from God's kingdom. As we move on in verse 12, Jesus tells us that we are a victorious church. As we are a victorious church, he has called us to be. He will write the name of God on us. In a sense, he is saying we will be tattooed with God's name on us for all to see. We will become permanently identified with Jesus, both now in this life and forever. When we are victorious, the people around us will know whose we are. There will be no doubt that we belong to Jesus and his kingdom. Each believer will become a citizen of the New Jerusalem. That's our eternal home, right? Living with God forever. Again, as always, the rewards of being victorious are astounding. Being the church personally and corporately, being that church which God has called us to be, will produce rewards which are beyond anything we can really comprehend. I don't think our finite minds can really understand the full rewards that God has for us as we walk victorious in him. Though we have little strength at times, We need to keep God's word daily and never deny or turn our backs on Jesus. Jesus has the key to all authority. He is the one who opens doors that no one can shut and closes doors that no one can open. And Jesus has opened a door before us as a church and as individuals. He has opened the door for us to be right with God. If you are on a journey and today you would like to explore that open door, explore a further relationship with God, you want to know more about it, please email us at crpentecostal@gmail.com or talk to someone you know has a solid relationship with Jesus. They can probably lead you and share with you more about your journey. Jesus has also opened that door of ministry to each of his children. This ministry is prepared and fitted perfectly to the skills and giftings Jesus has given us. There is a ministry for every one of us. Are we willing to walk through the doors Jesus has placed before us, trusting he will be our foundation and our strength? We are called to be the church he has shared with us here, like the Church of Philadelphia. Will we be that church? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you that we can hear your word and the instructions you've given through the churches so that we can understand what the church today needs to be like. And Lord, we want to be that church. We want to be that church that stands firm and keeps your word. We want to be that church that does not deny you at any point in our lives, no matter who we come against or what challenge we come against, that we stand firm and strong, that we hold on to what you have given us, that we hold on to the open doors that you set before us, the door of salvation, and that we never turn our backs on Jesus. And that we hold on to the ministry, that door that you've opened. And Lord, you have an open door for each of us. And Holy Spirit, come and share that open door with us. Let us know how you've gifted us and where that open door is. Even in these times, these unprecedented times, there is open doors of ministry, maybe even more now than ever before, to reach out and share the good news, to share our Savior and Lord with others. Father, we thank you for the great rewards, but we don't do it for the rewards. We do it because we love you and because you are God Almighty. So thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray a blessing on all who listen to this message, that they would grow stronger in their walk with you and that they would know your presence. And we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.